Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm back. It made it...
Not as sorry as I am, because there you go. You didn't turn my microphone on again.
What did you just say?
I said, there you go again. You're back 1 minute. You don't turn on my microphone. It's like passive aggressive. I keep telling you, you are passive aggressive, Lawrence.
Did you hear something, Rob? I don't know. I don't hear anything. All right. Well, welcome back. Yeah, and it was made more than obvious. Why is Mark even on the show? I love that email. Why is Mark even here?
Why did you see that one?
Oh, I got rid of it because it made it clear last week that Steve Kushiloff came to the newsroom, not in here.
Oh, I see.
But that Steve Kushiloff and your fabulous guests, including Attorney Readers and Professor Meinke and Professor Riley on the 9/11 book that he wrote, made it. And last week, Chad Hirschberger and Ben Reichle, our noter, said that it's painfully obvious that Mark is completely unnecessary. And so you should just run that sequence every week and you'll have a good series of shows.
Contrary, I think you are extremely necessary.
Right, because you don't like being capered.
It says Mark Lawrence is very necessary and strikingly handsome as well.
Thank you. All right, so you got that under out of the way for October, really. You already did September's obligations, so thank you. All right, well, I am Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is across from me. He's the mayor of Shamokin Dam, chair of the CSVT Task Force. He's anti-tower, I read in the Daily Item, so we know that that is true. And Rob Center, our fabulous producer on the other side of the glass, which he has extra duties to do when I'm not around here. He does the podcast, and he does the On the Mark online, what do they call it? Archiving, I guess, so that folks can listen to it online. So we appreciate him doing all of that last week and taking good care of the Sunrise show also, which he always does. And let's see, what can I say? Mark Lawrence, bad program director. Bad reporter.
Handsome.
Well, yeah, that much is true. Yeah.
Apparently, you had some fine meals. You went to the beach. It was not the best weather.
No, my lovely.
Your lovely bride posts photographs of all these wonderful meals you're having.
I know she likes to do that. So, but yeah, we did have some.
I'm usually too hungry. I just grab it and eat it. I don't take pictures of it.
Well, my reflection at the end of the vacation was, boy, I had some great coffee while I was on vacation at various locations. So we had sun every afternoon. We had this misty fog every morning. We were at the beach for a couple of days and had a misty fog in the morning and sun every afternoon, so we had a fabulous time. I even got too much sun one day and had a sunburn, so...
Oh, you look a little pink.
Oh, yeah, it should be about faded by now. I think it was last Wednesday afternoon. So, all right, so that's that. Enough about that. Let's talk about Judge Kavanaugh, and we can talk about that. One of our emailers sent us a note.
Yes, one of them is about that. He says, let's see here. The GOP plans to go ahead with the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh despite a credible allegation of attempted rape against him. No pausing the confirmation hearings to investigate. They're just going to push right on through. I'm not surprised, really, considering they continually support a president who has over a dozen credible sexual assault allegations against him. It's clear that the well-being of women is not any concern to the GOP whatsoever. Much more important to protect the abusers than the victims. This comes on the heels of running people like alleged pedophile Roy Moore for the Senate and tolerating Iowa Congressman Steve King continually retweeting white supremacists. Oh, and let's not forget Republican white supremacist Russell Walker running for the State House of Representatives in North Carolina. Holocaust denier KKK member Arthur Jones running for Congress in Illinois. Holocaust denier John Fitzgerald running for Congress in California. And pro-white Paul Nealon, who routinely defends white supremacist messages on social media, running to fill Paul Ryan's seat in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. It's clear the GOP has become a cesspool of misogyny and racism. No wonder they love Trump so much. He's the poster boy for those things. Make America great again. Wow, that's over the top.
I never heard a succinct summary of all of the allegations against all of the candidates.
You know, there's nothing keeping bad
in one
people
letter.
From running for office. I mean, there have been some pretty weird Democrats over the years. Racists running in South Carolina and North Carolina. you know, oh, well, that was years ago. Well, what about Brett Kavanaugh's allegation? That was years ago in high school. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that he did drink and he did do something inappropriate with this woman. It's in high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the same person you were in high school? And since then, he apparently has lived an exemplary life because all these women are coming forward saying how well he treated them and that he was a decent, honorable guy and respectful. You know, so let's say he didn't do it. What's the goal?
Well, let's
I mean, let's face it. This thing is, she's had this letter, Dianne Feinstein has had this letter since July. Now it comes out?
Well, let's suppose that, yeah, I like your supposition that it's true, and it's, you know, it's certainly worth discussing. It's, it doesn't sound like sort of a random accusation that might pop up. Let's suppose it is true. Tell me this, what's the worst thing you've ever done, you know, in terms of forcing yourself on a woman, or pick out something from high school where you stole something? Tell us that, Joe.
Well, no, I'm not telling you that, because I don't want to be judged by anything I did in high school.
Right.
Do you?
No, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, no. And if I were to be judged by things that I did in high school or college, you know, you wouldn't know that you're talking about or to the same person you are now. Now, I never forcibly, whatever you want to describe it, attempted rape seems like
the letter, I mean, her letter does make it sound, I have to agree with E.B. on that one, he does make it sound like attempted rape.
Okay.
The letter that she wrote to Senator Feinstein.
Right, which we do have a copy of here, so
do. Thanks
to Joe. So, nobody, I guess just, you know, as you go through your life and you become a better person and a bigger person and grow deeper in the faith, should you be remembered for the things you did and held up against you that you did while you were an adolescent?
I mean, 30 years since he graduated from high school, this is the only thing they can find against him?
Well, and what if, again, stipulating that it might be true, what if he used that as a teachable moment himself and used that to...
Said, I'm never going to do anything like that again.
Right,
as long as
and
I
how
live.
Wrong that is. And, you know, it became clear to him how something like that can happen. And
but he has denied it. And
he has denied it.
A friend who was with him, supposedly at this party, also denies that it happened. So what do? We accept the accusation at face value and we throw this guy out, although he's lived an exemplary life, apparently. He's a good family man. You know, no one, his wife never came forward and said, well, I'm only with him because he raped me or tried to rape me and he's threatening my life if I leave him.
Oh my God.
I mean, nobody's come forward with anything
right. Like
that.
Right.
But yet that would not be out of character for someone who would push a young girl into a bedroom and attempt to take her clothes off.
Well, and really in the court system and in a lot of our systems, we believe the accuser. That's the way the system that weighs and judges and looks at this. So if we're going to believe her, which we should, then I think we do need to hear something about this in the hearings and to find out more.
Sure.
And let him say that it's a chapter that's behind him, or I guess let him do his denial in person.
Well, they turned it over, Senator Feinstein turned it over to the FBI. So what's the point? The statute of limitations is long gone on anything that happened. And let's say it did happen. He was a teenager. He wouldn't have been tried as an adult. He would have probably been sent to counseling.
Would have never heard about it, probably.
Never heard about it. The record would have been sealed, and that would have been it. You know, so I think, I'm sorry to say this, but it strikes me as crass political maneuvering by those people who want to stop Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court by any means possible. And Chuck Schumer has said, we'll do whatever it takes.
Well, how do you know that they manipulated her?
I don't. I mean, she may honestly believe this happened. Maybe it did happen. I'm not saying that she should be disbelieved immediately.
Then how are the Kavanaugh opponents manipulating this in any way?
Well, I mean, if they just took it and wait, first of all, they waited and they had it in July, but they didn't do anything with it. They had numerous meetings with him. They had public testimony on Capitol Hill. They could have brought it up and asked him about it.
As far as you know, anyway.
Well, they did. She did have the letter. Dianne Feinstein had it in July.
But you aren't behind those closed doors, so you
what
don't know precisely what has happened.
Is, you know, they couldn't stop it any other way. He came through the hearings with flying colors, couldn't stop it any other way. Well, now let's use this dirt we have here.
Get out the nuclear.
And suppose it comes out, suppose dirt about her comes out, you know, that she had mental illnesses and that she accused other people of rape. What do we do then?
Well, I guess we'd have to judge some of that. But we're really just looking at what Brett Kavanaugh's standing is now. If he has denied this adamantly, so we have heard from him. It's not like his side of this hasn't been presented at all. 1-800-795-95... Oops, I pushed the wrong button. I hope Stan is still there. Stan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Boy, that was quite a ride. I hope you're okay. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Well, this whole thing, all you got to do is look at the players. First, you got Feinstein holding on to the letter for 2 months or better when she had it, and she had meetings with Kavanaugh and could have brought it up when they had their private senator-only hearing. They could have all been brought up. But she chose to hold on to it after she discovered that, oh, my, he's probably going to be confirmed because they had nothing on him, and they still don't. This woman, if you look into her history, which it's out there online, her parents... her parents were defendants in a foreclosure case before a judge in Maryland. Do you know who that judge was?
Kavanaugh?
The judge was Kavanaugh's mother.
Oh.
So there could be a little bit of, you know, personal animosity there just for that fact. They were foreclosed on, they were defendants, and they lost. So how much of this is, you know, geared towards that? A little payback.
Well, not only that, but if he was the judge in the case and the daughter had something about him, I would think her attorneys would have asked to have him recused.
No, it was her. It was his mother. Not okay. Kavanaugh, well, but it was his mother.
But still, if they said that, you know, her son attacked me, she
right.
should be taken off of this case.
This happened in the 90s, so I'm not sure, you know, as far as when he was graduated from school and all that, but it did happen in the 90s. So, you know, when that case was in Maryland. So, yeah, I mean, there's way too many questions. The big question is, if you got something like that, why would you hold on to it, you know, for 3 months, 2 months, whatever it was, you know, to bring it out the last minute? You know, right there, that's the first big question and suspect. Well, we're supposed to believe everything that comes out of Feinstein's mouth. Well, quite frankly, I believe nothing that comes out of her mouth. So I think it's all just a political ploy to smear somebody. They did it with Clarence Thomas. You know, they did it with Robert Bork. So it's a continual thing with the Democrats. They just, you know, if it doesn't, you know... pro-choicer, and they go against everything they stand for, well, then he's no good, and he needs to go.
So well, the difference is with Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill came out and, you know, testified before Congress. She did it open and above board, you know, granted that didn't derail Thomas's confirmation, but at least she did it in the right way.
Well, yeah, but I think she was lying, too. But that's a whole other story, you know. You know, the allegations that were supposedly against him just made no sense. So, but whatever. You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, if she didn't have the courage, you know, and she wants to be anonymous, but then all of a sudden her name's out there, how's that work? You know? How's that work?
Well, I guess
I don't understand.
Well, the Washington Post describes her as slowly acquiescing that if she wants this to be vetted, she's going to have to come forward, and she might have to testify in front of the Senate committee. So that's why they say there's been this sort of trickle out of the names that are associated with this. Plus, his co-conspirator in this, in that bedroom, his name is out now too. So
So his previous confirmation hearings is 35 years or 25 years and, you know, on the bench and doing public service and working for the government where he was confirmed several times. None of that mattered. You know, she just all of a sudden pulled this out of her, well, I won't say it, but...
Pulled it out of her hat is the phrase you're looking for.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's the hat.
So thank
you.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, that's certainly the
clean version.
Brought
this up, so.
All right, well, yeah, and I think... Joe started out stipulating that let's suppose for the sake of discussion it's true. Let's suppose that everything you say is true, Stan, that, you know, this is just being done for political purposes. I don't think it's going to be enough to derail the nomination. I mean, the fact that he did something terrible in high school, again, we're just stipulating for our discussion, shouldn't be enough to prevent you from being considered for this position. You know, I think the Senate Judiciary Committee should do the consideration of it and hear both sides of it, and, you know, we should hear more about it. But it's, you know, it is like Clarence Thomas, that, you know, it's not going to be enough to prevent him from being on the Supreme Court. Now, I'm not saying Clarence Thomas should or should not have been on the court, but, you know, the fact is that's water under the bridge. So let's suppose it is just political shenanigans. Let's do it. Let's get it out there. Let's get both sides of this, and I have a feeling how most folks are going to vote on that.
Well, you know, and they got this one woman. Well, what about the 65 women that had went to school, high school with Kavanaugh, and some of them that had dated him had never said anything like that about him? You know, they sent letters into the committee, to the attesting to his, you know, his honesty and his integrity and yada yada yada.
Well, right. They were all in
their word means nothing, I guess.
Well, plus the fact that it was in high school and everybody involved had apparently been drinking. So right there,
well,
you have a crime.
He was inebriated.
Well, that's what she said, and she said she was drinking, too.
Yeah, if that's true. So.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Stan. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Stan.
Thanks for checking in. All right. We have some emails pending on this topic. Let's take a quickie break. On the mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is 100% wide open right now. 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can do as three individuals have done, and that's email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you could also do as Stan occasionally does, and that's text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan, Rob Centers, back where he belongs. All right, so he's been there the whole time. I'm back where I belong, but very
That's
glad to be here.
But it's good to have
you. Well, it's too late now. We're already, we're all set.
Cindy, you're on the mark, Cindy.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, these accusations against this man surprised me based on what I heard in the hearings. Why do I say that? Well, he examined the issue of why there were not as many women as men in high positions in the judicial system. And he discovered that the system by which you work your way up through the judicial system was biased. And he set about rectifying that by making deliberate choices to hire women to be clerks for him and into positions with him. And so not only did he concern himself with the women in the judicial system, but he actually deliberately made choices that fixed that problem and advocated regularly for his fellow judges to do the same. Doesn't that kind of smack up against the theory that he's a women hater?
Yes, it does.
Woman abuser.
Yeah, you would think there'd be a pattern to that kind of behavior, wouldn't you?
Well, I wouldn't expect him to become an advocate. I wouldn't expect him to make deliberate choices to bring women into law. I wouldn't expect him to go out among his peers and, you know, give them a good hard nudge to join him in this behavior. That doesn't make sense to me. But what troubles me is that he's gone through multiple deep investigations by the government to work in the White House twice, to be a judge. Again, he had to go through this deep examination. And then before he was, there was a process of this, a nomination here. And yet none of this came out. None of this came out in any of that. And now it does. And what troubles me even more is that the people who had this information sat on it. They knew this in July. This letter came to them in July. So in July, they could have released this letter or gone to the FBI and asked them to do an investigation. In August, they could have done that. And yet, they did not. And I can't help but look upon this then as what they call the October surprise in federal elections.
Yep.
Right? That they hope they can find some piece of dirt, true or false, against an opponent and spring that right before the election in the hopes that it will bias the voters and bring the election around to your side. I don't understand. I certainly am concerned, but I don't understand why this would not have been dealt with in July or in August.
I think I know the reason for that, because if they had done it in July, and let's say it would have derailed his nomination, there would have been time for the president to appoint someone else and go through the whole process again before the midterm elections. I think they're just bound and determined to try and stop this, and hoping in the midterms they'll get control of the Senate and the House, and then they can dictate who the nominee will be.
Well, I think what they're really doing is they're derailing America. You know, as I pointed out last week, there are an odd number of Supreme Court justices for a reason, so that you don't come to stalemates in decisions. You actually get a decision. Now, in the last year, it was an eight people, 4-4. And unfortunately, we saw cases come up and not reach resolution because the finding was 4-4. That doesn't serve America. I mean, even if I lose, at least we've decided. At least people can move on. The decision is made. The people who have put the energy forward to get their case all the way to the Supreme Court, which is an arduous process. It's not like, you know, it's not like I could decide to sue Mark and tomorrow it's in the Supreme Court. It would take many layers of legal action before it even gets to the Supreme Court.
Plus, I would have to have committed my first crime. That's the other thing.
Well, I'm sorry, Mark.
All right, we have a caller.
I'm very troubled by this entire process, and as an American, I feel poorly used, ill-used by the people who withheld this information until the 11th hour. I want the issue addressed. It certainly flies in the face of everything that's been said about this man. I don't want to make any accusations one way or the other about the person who is claiming this, but I believe that she acted poorly in not coming forward right in the beginning. If her passion is, her motivation is to prevent him from being in the courts, she certainly could have succeeded at that if this warrants it quite some time ago, and spared us all that's gone on since then.
Yes,
all
right. Known he was
up for
appointment to the circuit courts. So,
or working in the White House, or what have you. Buzz, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good show, and, you know, something we all need to think about, and I would agree with you, Mark, because my age, I can't think of anybody in my group that hasn't done something in their past that they're sorry for, but are we that same person? Not in support of anyone, but talk about that, but with regards to the to his hiring more women to get in, you know, to give them more exposure, that's a good thing. But I would like to know what the hiring process was like. Are those all like thinkers? Are those all people, all women that held his same views on policy that he's bringing in, or did he hire women qualified because of their education and without limits onto their thinking? What if they were, pro-choice? I mean, did he hire any pro-choice women? I can't use that excuse to say he's in support of women. I can only think that he might have had a hiring process that could have eliminated eliminated anyone that didn't think like Cameron. So that's just to be considered. Just saying. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, it sounds like he's gone through the same thought process that a lot of men have done who are decision makers around here, that realize that women in the past haven't been given equal opportunity and have been oppressed and in some cases have been sexually assaulted and in many cases just haven't been given precisely the same consideration or opportunities, and has bent over backwards to make sure that that doesn't happen again. He's done so in his hiring and in his words and in his decision and in his research and maybe in his family life and maybe in all of his personal, you know, interactions with all a wide range of individuals. You know, I know in our newsroom, we adopted probably 10 years ago an important policy to pay attention to stories that relate to teenagers and adolescent women to make sure that they're given fair standing, and stories that relate to adult women and women in the workplace and women's careers and women's awards and the women's symposium to make sure that they've gotten more than 50% of the coverage where appropriate. And maybe he has done the same thing since high school. We're going to keep up this topic. We have three emails pending. We mentioned that. There's probably another one masked behind these three as well, so we'll find out that shortly. We are talking about the U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the latest allegations. We'll continue at 9:06. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
And welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. It's the 17th day of September 2018. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. So we always appreciate his hard work. And we do have Matt Cotrillo doing the clackety-clack thing over in the newsroom. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Trutz Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, and the Shade Mountain Pharmacy are the sponsors of our toll-free line, which is open, 1-800-795-9565. We call it the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line for a reason. It's sponsored by those wonderful local pharmacies. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We have four emails pending now that relate to the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh and the sexual assault allegations against him as levied by Professor Ford of Stanford University. So we're going to continue that conversation, and then we'll move on to other topics as time permits today. Some brief news headlines. Residents affected by the ongoing CSVT project will have another chance to meet with PennDOT officials this week. PennDOT says they'll hold another public meeting for residents along the southern section of the highway. It will be specifically for individuals living along the Route 522 Attic Road corridor. The meeting will be held Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Seals Grove Middle School. They'll see 3D models of the new highway, and we'll be able to talk about ways they'll minimize impacts such as noise and pollution. Residents will have a chance to ask questions and to make additional comments. With remnants of Hurricane Florence expected to move into the valley today, a flash flood watch has been posted. National Weather Service says the flash flood watch for Snyder, Union, Northumberland, Montour, and Columbia counties starts at 2 o'clock today and continues through tomorrow morning. Heavy rain is expected to move into the area, 1 to 2 inches in most parts of the valley, with 2 to 4 inches in some parts of our region. Former President Barack Obama's stops on the midterm campaign trail will run through Philadelphia. The state Democratic Party said President Obama will headline the September 21st rally in Philadelphia to boost the reelection campaigns of Democratic U.S. Senator Bob Casey and Democratic Governor Tom Wolf, but also other down-ballot races that Democrats are contesting. In the Philadelphia area alone, Democrats are hoping to flip 4 U.S. House seats and more than a dozen state legislative seats that will be on the November 6th general election ballot. Casey and Wolf are leading in independent polls comfortably over 2 Republican challengers. Rogers, who are aligned with President Donald Trump. After the rally, Obama is heading a fundraiser for Casey and Senate Democrats in Philadelphia. Donald Trump Jr. is headlining a state Republican Party dinner that evening. And a New Jersey art teacher has pledged to wear the same outfit for 100 days to teach students about sustainability. William Allen Middle School teacher Julia Mooney says that wearing a different outfit each day is very wasteful and that the fashion industry is a huge polluter. The art teacher wears an apron during class to avoid stains. Mooney says she washes the dress and even has a backup. Mooney ultimately hopes her sustainability project will serve as an example for students. She plans to continue documenting her progress and sharing lessons about green practices through her Instagram page. What do you think about that, Joe?
Waste of time.
You say that no matter what the story is, what funny story, anything. Well, you know, what about President Obama?
No, I think it's nice that she's doing it, all right?
Oh, yeah, you do not. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about U.S. Supreme Court Justice and nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the accusations of a Stanford, California professor who is recounting in great detail in a letter to first to Dianne Feinstein. And now publicly disclosed, and she's come forward to publicly, you know, give her name and to talk about the accomplice in the crime, too. His name is out as well.
Where are we getting Stanford? I heard she was at some other college.
Oh, you might be right. Okay.
I didn't think it was Stanford. I thought it was some smaller college.
Supreme Court nominee, nomination.
Well, while you're looking at that, I'll read some of these emails.
Okay, yeah, I already did read them, yep.
I know you read them, but you didn't read them on the air.
Right.
Okay. One guy, he actually sent us two emails. He says, "Wow, you guys are really doing the predictable, worrying about how sexual assault allegations will impact the man. No wonder victims don't come forward. They're relegated to the background as men circle around other men. Women who make sexual abuse allegations are, number one, are lying. Number two, are making them for political gain. Number three, brought it on themselves. Number four, should shut up because it happened years ago. This is why women fear speaking up. Merrick Garland has zero sexual assault allegations against him, and the GOP wouldn't even meet with him." Well, we don't know if there was dirt in Merrick Garland's closet or skeletons in his closet because the Republicans wouldn't give the guy a fair hearing. So there may have been things that came up to disqualify him. I don't think our writer can assert blandly that there was nothing in his background that might disqualify him from being appointed to the Supreme Court.
Or blindly, either way.
Blandly, I said.
I know.
Okay. Blindly? Well, either way.
Either
works
way.
Either way. In any event, I don't think we're defending the man, but I don't think what our writer overlooks is that accusations aren't convictions. Just because somebody comes forward, yes, we should lend them some, we should listen to them, we should look at what they're saying or listen to what they're saying and make a fair judgment about whether or not they're telling the truth. There were only three people allegedly in that room. Two of them say it didn't happen. One says it did. So what should we do? Assume that the two are lying and the one's telling the truth? Or should we assume that the one is lying and the two are telling the truth? So which way would you go?
Well, I think we have to hear more information. And that should come from our audience and these two emailers. So let's do that.
Well, all right. If that's what
I'm dodging the bullet in case it's not
you
obvious.
You are dodging the bullet. Dick says, "You are aware that she wasn't going to come forward. Now this lady, professor at Stanford, will testify if asked, has passed a lie detector test, and if she had pushed this years ago, it would have been brushed under the rug, kind of like you are doing now. I would expect nothing less than a total defense from most of your listeners, as we are hearing at this moment. The Republicans are and have been and are now the losing many women voters. This won't help if it's just brushed aside. Trump has denied that he has anything or was anything but a choir boy, and most of us know that he lies." That's one take on it. And our producer has found out she's a professor at Palo Alto.
Yeah, Palo Alto University, and teaches in a consortium with Stanford.
Okay. Now, as for the last email, no one's brushing this aside. You know, it's a serious allegation, and if he did it, there are ramifications to that, I'm sure. But does it, let's say he did it, does it disqualify him from serving on the Supreme Court, something you did in high school 30 years ago? If there were four or five other women come forward, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are, if there's something, if there's some fire behind this smoke, would you?
No, and I think what's going to happen is you're going to end up with hundreds of women that will come forward and are familiar with his standing and his preference for supporting women's careers in the legal profession, and based on what he has identified as a lack of women in positions of high standing.
Well, I mean, Buzz brings up a good point, but I think that this was interesting. He asked, did he ever appoint women who disagree with him? So during the break, I attempted to Google that. I asked the question, and the stories that came up, none of them were relative to that. They were Google, and of the first 11 stories that came up, when you mentioned Judge Kavanaugh, 10 of them were negative. And then they say that Google doesn't discriminate against conservatives. Come on. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so the cat's out of the bag there. You have another email,
I
right?
know, but you've blocked
I got rid of it. I blocked your emails. Is this one you... No, that's the one you did read.
I did read that one, yes.
Okay.
And the one... There we go. All right. Tom says, great job by the Democrats on the Kavanaugh nomination. Keep up the good work. Need more and more dirt. The Republicans played dirty with Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland. What goes around comes around. When Republicans go low, Democrats should go lower. Well, that's a good idea. Loving every minute of it. Stop your crying, Joe. It's sickening. Walls closing in on Donald. John 3:16. Trump. The end is near. On Tropical Storm Florence, socialism is a terrible thing till you're standing on a roof in North Carolina.
Well, can't the democratic form of government rescue people stranded?
No, you have to be socialist to want to rescue people.
I see, okay.
Capitalists would never pick you off the roof of your house in a flood.
Well, yeah, let's talk about flooding. Remember, these are people that ignored the warnings that they're supposed to evacuate, so that's a factor there, too. But, all right, 1-800-795-9565. We have some text messages that Joe cannot look at, but here's the first one. It's not signed. It says, I don't condone sexual assault by anyone at any time. However, if hold everyone accountable for what we did in high school, no one... Okay, how about that? I'll stick a word in there that's not there. However, if we hold everyone accountable for what we did in high school, nobody would ever be permitted to do any job. And then Stan sends us a text, as we're glad that he did. It says, the Dems are concerned about 35-year-old allegations against Kavanaugh, yet give Keith Ellison a pass on recent allegations of assault and sexual abuse by his ex-girlfriend. Ellison is a Democratic nominee for Attorney General of Minnesota, the chief law enforcer of a state. Doesn't make sense to me, says Stan.
Well, what if somebody came forward in the election and said, 8 years ago, and said Barack Obama had molested them when he was in high school? Can you imagine the outrage from the Democrats? You know, this is political. And yet, it would be, and there's no indication that Barack Obama ever did anything like that. So I doubt that there would be any, you know, any truth to it. But let's suppose that rumor came forward. The Democrats would want him, and rightly so, given a fair hearing on the case. They would want him to have the presumption of innocence before we convict him. Here, the Democrats seem more than willing to preemptively decide that Brett Kavanaugh is a molester and should not be...
In what way, though? In what way? Why do you even say that? I mean, everybody on both sides of the hearing wants to hear more about it. Republicans have said they want to hear more about it. Democrats have said they want to hear more about it.
Okay, let's see. More about it. And
I'm just saying it's not a partisan issue. Everybody wants to know more.
It is a partisan issue because this could have come up any time over the last few months, and now it's coming up right at the point where he is about to have a vote for his nomination to be passed on to the full Senate.
Well,
you don't find that at all suspicious.
Well, the timing is suspicious, but nonetheless, you know, this woman has never disclosed until 2012 that the incident had happened at all, and then did so in private counseling with marital counseling with her husband, and that's the only reason that it emerged at all. So I don't think that she's been waiting in the wings for decades for this to come forward. I think this is, you know, this is a issue of conscience for her. It happened, and she's thought about it. She's learned. She's learned and experienced, and talked about its impact on her marriage. And now that it is, she has an opportunity to step forward. You know, we mentioned why didn't she come forward at previous hearings? Well, she may not have had decided yet that that was, you know, she was even dealing with it herself, let alone see what the implication might be for him or the other perpetrator.
What's the point of going public with it?
I think it's a factor. It speaks to Judge Kavanaugh's character and understanding, and he could easily explain this.
It would have spoken to it when he was up for a nomination.
Right, but she hadn't come forward yet, even in her marital counseling until, I think, 2012 was the first time she mentioned it.
Something this old, and I can't speak for the woman. Maybe she has serious good reasons for it, but it would seem to me that if it came up and I felt that way about it, I might write him a letter saying, hey, Judge Kavanaugh, do you remember you did this to me back in 1980-something or other? You know, I see from your career that you have a lot of women that you've helped and you've done good things. I hope you have changed from then. You know, wouldn't that have worked?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not a sexual assault victim nor a woman, so I can't decide what the proper behavior is, nor can you. I think she's done the best she can.
I'm just saying it's another alternative. The fact that it becomes a public matter when the man is up for a nomination to the Supreme Court just looks a little suspicious.
Right. Well, the timing is fishy, so that's fine. Let's stipulate the timing is fishy, and it's all done by Democrats, and she came forward to derail his nomination. So be it. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We got one caller waiting. We're going to put him on the radio in a second, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. Al, you are on the mark.
Okay, they opened another can of worms at the end of the thing. But there's several steps they have to take and put everything on hold, maybe. And now they got to find a law enforcement guy to go ahead and press the charges, because nothing can happen until law enforcement presses
No, there
the
won't
charges.
Be any criminal charges here. The statute of limitations has run out.
Well, before he can press any... Well, then what's the point? Joe just said was nice. That would have been nice if she would have came out and confronted the man. But sometimes you don't even get that opportunity. Now, does this lady have witnesses? Did she go that day to the hospital or anywhere to say, this happened to me? Or did she go home and say, Mom and Dad, this happened to me?
And she said she did not do that.
Well, and apparently she wasn't injured.
And nobody had any witnesses. And now there's two guys in a room with her that they don't remember, and she does. And you got to find out what room were they in. And you could say, Kavanaugh, show us the room, and where is it?
Well, I'm not
and
sure.
If he didn't,
that...
All right, and now wait, and then the other guy. All right, where's the room, and where was it? And her, where's the room, and where was it? Ask all three of them and see if they can pick the same room, number one. They're going to have to build a case, I mean, if they wanted to do anything like that. And there is no time limit for what he did, if he did do it. You know, there's no time limit on that. I mean, he's got to get forgiveness, and that's the end of the story. But to come out and open a can of worms this late in the game, and is a polygraph even legal?
No.
I don't think polygraphs are legal in court.
No, they're not.
No, they're just evidence.
Right. She doesn't have any witnesses. She doesn't have any polygraphs. And if can't get law enforcement to do anything, what is it besides a can of worms?
But why wouldn't she have told her parents? And why wouldn't they have done something about it?
My daughter had a horrible thing happen to her in high school, and the first thing I called, and the cops couldn't do anything. It's a screwed-up world, number
one. But she told
you,
about it. Your daughter told you about
it,
right?
Yeah, she told me about it, and I went to the police. And the police couldn't do anything about it because of this and that, but I got the damn kid, I acted like a kid myself, and got him to confess on the phone to me.
So you're saying the criminal justice system from police through the courts isn't all it's cracked?
You know me, and you know my story. If you got witnesses against you, Linda Culver, she can't do anything for you. Nobody can do anything for you. I had it happen to me. I mean, once, but I didn't wait. I've been trying to tell people about certain things, but I just came to a conclusion: is anything man is involved in is not perfect. And Father Fred told me that, and I believe him. And he says, right down to the church, right down to the disciples that Jesus picked. They weren't all perfect. Fred. We're never going to get it because we live here on the earth.
Fred Wongway at St. Monica's. All right. We should be clear about who Father Fred is. All right. Thank you so much, Al. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, bye.
1-800-795-9565. We got four open lines and no emails pending, so give us a buzz right now. 1-800-795-9565. We do have one text message, and we'll read that momentarily. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Do we believe the victim, I guess, is what we're really asking here. Do you believe it? Skip the timing. We know the timing's political. We'll stipulate that, but do you believe her? 1-800-795-9565.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, not the holidays. I'm talking about back to school. The sound of the pencil sharpener as it makes the perfect point. The satisfying smell of a fresh box of crayons. Organizing my backpack so everything I need is right at my fingertips. I'm a busy kid in a busy family, so time management is a must. We don't have time to waste waiting for hours for our prescriptions. So Mom calls ahead to our hometown pharmacy. They get our refills ready, and boom, we're in and out fast, just like me on the soccer field.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
I know what you're thinking. Most 9-year-olds don't feel this way about school. My parents hope my excitement lasts until at least the actual holiday break. I say it'll last our year. I got this.
All right, we're going to talk about the governor when we come back here after our next break, but we are still on the topic of Brett Kavanaugh. Now, let me tell you some very important messaging, and that is the same thing that Joe emphasized several times last week, and that is that the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is sponsored specifically by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, which is rurally situated out on Route 35 in the Mount Pleasant Mills area between the two ridges there. They don't get an additional amount of snow there. It's always clear. And they would just love to see you out there. Tyler out at Trotz Pharmacy is in beautiful downtown Mifflinburg along Walnut Street, and he would just love to talk to you. He's highly knowledgeable. Plus, he's a smart business person. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy. He's a genius business-wise. He's on Duke Street, and no matter what happens with the construction, they are open at the Norrie Pharmacy. Kathy's the award-winning pharmacist and owner of the Danville Pharmacy, Kathy Grandizio on Mill Street in Danville. Just a super smart business person right next to the police station. Jennifer's the head pharmacist at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, which means she's the smartest person in the room everywhere she goes. They're on Market Street and have been for decades at the Bloomsburg. And Brad's the Lewisburg pharmacist, owner-operator on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. And I'll tell you what, he's an egghead when it comes to this stuff. He's constantly reading and knowledgeable and keeping his certifications at the highest levels and serving in the brotherhood of pharmacists that monitor all the laws and make sure that they're all up to speed. There's a better name for
the Brotherhood of
Farmers. Thank you. Well, that's like one of those things, you know, like doctors are part of. But anyway, nonetheless, he's a leader in that, and he would just love to talk to you about that at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. Our hometown pharmacies offering you personalized service on a first-name basis. Don't go to a big box store, and as Joe said last week, begrudgingly, they will send your money to China. Shop at your hometown pharmacies.
And we have the letter that Senator Feinstein received from the woman whose name is redacted still in this letter. It says, I am writing with information relevant in evaluating the current nominee to the Supreme Court. As a constituent, I expect that you will maintain this as confidential until we have a further opportunity to speak. Brett Kavanaugh physically and sexually assaulted me during high school in the early 1980s. He conducted these acts with the assistance of redacted. Both were 1 or 2 years older than me and students at local private schools. The assault occurred in a suburban Maryland area home at a gathering that included me and 4 others. Kavanaugh physically pushed me into a bedroom as I was headed for a bathroom up a short stairwell from the living room. They locked the door and played loud music, precluding any successful attempt to yell for help. Kavanaugh was on top of me while laughing with Redacted, who periodically jumped onto Kavanaugh. They both laughed as Kavanaugh tried to disrobe me in their highly inebriated state. With Kavanaugh's hand over my mouth, I feared he may inadvertently kill me. From across the room, a very drunken Redacted said with mixed words to Kavanaugh, ranging from go for it to stop. At one point, when Redacted jumped onto the bed, the weight on me was substantial. The pile toppled and the two scrapped with each other. After a few attempts to get away, I was able to take this opportune moment to get up and run across to a hallway bathroom. I locked the bathroom door behind me. Both loudly stumbled down the stairwell, at which point other persons at the house were talking with them. I exited the bathroom, ran outside of the house, and went home. I have not knowingly seen Kavanaugh since the assault. I did see Redacted once at Redacted, where he was extremely uncomfortable seeing me. I have received medical treatment regarding the assault. On July 6th, I notified my local government representative to ask them how to proceed with sharing this information. It's upsetting to discuss sexual assault and its repercussions, yet I feel guilty and compelled as a citizen about the idea of not saying anything. I am available to speak further should you wish to discuss. I am currently redacted and will be in redacted. In confidence, redacted.
Okay. All right,
so,
but her name is out now.
A few interesting things about this letter. I mean, they physically jumping on each other and the pile fell on the floor.
And what's scrapping?
Fighting. That's an unusual word for a woman to use, I think. It's an awfully old word referring to a fight as a scrap.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember using that.
I mean, that's in the 1860s, they used the word scrap to describe a fight. So.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take more callers on this topic. Chris, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yeah, that sounds like a fairly well-stated letter. Doesn't seem too outlandish.
All right.
Okay, but, well,
thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I think the idea that the Supreme Court 4-4 for the next few months, a couple months, is, or a month extra, is the term doesn't even start until October, really doesn't matter. And I don't remember constant chatter from Cindy about it being empty for a year when Garland was in, was nominated. So I don't know. And having the 4-4 decision doesn't hurt anyone. In fact, it might even be better to have a evenly divided, even number on the Supreme Court.
You don't think it's better to have a decision from your court rather than an impasse?
Well, it's...
Well, you're ignoring the fact that a tie is a decision. It's a no vote. It's a no. A tie is a decision. It's no.
No, it reaffirms the lower court decision.
Which is no to the appeal.
Yes. But that's but then that to have an appeal win takes a majority of two votes, which might not be a bad idea. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I think for a while there were an even number of Supreme Court justices in history, by the way.
But you argued very strongly that the delay in appointing Merrick Garland was unconscionable.
I didn't say unconscionable. I said it was dirty politics and unprecedented.
But this isn't. This isn't dirty politics and unprecedented.
What?
This charge coming up at the 11th hour and an anonymous letter that Dianne Feinstein...
11th hour nonsense.
That Dianne Feinstein that had since July.
That 11th hour has nothing to do with the price of whiskey. I mean, come on. you're just trying to find nonsense.
So you don't find it at all suspicious that this comes up?
I just said what I thought, okay? Now, if we could go on... Kavanaugh, what's interesting is if Kavanaugh is going to have no memory of it or is going to categorically deny it, along with his other lies that he's given.
What other lies? What other lies?
I've named several of them, but in the past calls. But if you want me to, the one about the not dealing with stolen papers. The one about What was the first one that came up?
Well, I don't know. You're the one making the allegations.
It was about the thing of the torture memos. I had nothing to do with the torture. Nothing to do with it. Then they find signed papers of them about or giving opinions in meetings about the torture situation and an opinion. And when he was working in the White House, and he claimed he had nothing whatever to do with it. And then his first case as a judge was about the torture situation, and he didn't recuse himself. Come on, Joe. There's a lot of things that are very questionable. He was a political operative for a long time, basically.
Well, does that disqualify you from serving on the Supreme Court?
It doesn't, but if you deal with stolen papers without reporting it, if you lie to try to get confirmed as a judge,
but yet yeah, I would think you probably thought the guy who leaked the Pentagon papers was a hero. That were stolen papers.
Yes, and he admitted they were stolen papers, and he admitted he just stole them. What did the judge do? He denied it all
under oath. If he denied it under oath, if he denied it under oath, and you could prove contrary, he would face the same kind of thing that Bill Clinton did for lying under oath.
Only if somebody prosecutes him for it. But, you know, that's a really hard charge to prove. But you can certainly say he's dissembling and having a conveniently poor memory, which is maybe not what you want from a judge.
Like Hillary Clinton saying 360 times you couldn't remember?
For Supreme Court Justice, Joe? Come on.
If she can't remember, she can't remember.
Keep to the topic, Joe. Keep to the topic.
Well, you just don't see the parallel here, Chris, and there is a definite parallel.
I do. I see the parallel that Stan doesn't believe a word that comes out of Feinstein's mouth, and he thinks he's very objective. I mean, come on.
I don't think Stan views himself as objective.
And you don't say anything.
What, about him saying that?
Yeah.
I said on the program last week, if you were listening, I thought Dianne Feinstein did the best job of questioning Kavanaugh at the hearing. She asked pointed questions, and she listened to his answers. But
yes,
having done all that, my opinion of her went downhill, knowing that she had this letter since July and didn't ask
Joe,
about it.
Let me ask you, if you were given something in confidence by somebody who gave it to, who was forwarding it to you, where she gave it to you, said she didn't want her name released without further discussion, and you had further discussion, and she hadn't gotten to the point of wanting her name released, what would you do?
Well, I'd give it to the Washington Post, and they'd print it anonymously, which is probably exactly what Dianne Feinstein did.
Probably, you think, maybe. There are other people who could have leaked it, too, right? So you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer could have leaked it. Chuck Schumer.
You're giving your made-up opinion now.
You asked me my opinion. I tell you my opinion.
No, I asked you what the facts were.
How would I know what the facts were?
All I did was ask you what you would do.
I said I would sneak it to the Washington Post, and they'd be happy to print it.
Yeah, right. I don't think you would, Joe.
Oh,
I think you'd keep a confidence.
Not if I were a political operative like Chuck Schumer and I said, I'm going to stop this man at whatever it takes, and you've heard that come right out of his mouth.
Well, that's what he should.
So this is what it took. It took sneaking the letter anonymously written to the Washington Post.
We don't know that, Joe. Why can't you ever stick to the facts about something?
I can, but can't you ever admit that you might have an argument here that isn't very strong?
What's wrong with what's your question got to do with my argument? That's what I don't understand.
My question has to do with the fact that I'm asking a logical question about how this anonymous letter got released and who would it benefit. It certainly didn't benefit Brett Kavanaugh. And the only person that benefited was the Democrats.
What Feinstein did say she did was she forwarded to law enforcement.
And what would the point of that have been?
What?
What would the point of that have been? Law enforcement investigated this guy.
I don't understand why she did that either.
Okay, well, then we're in agreement for once.
I'm going to have to break this up.
No, I agree that I don't understand, and you agree that some nefarious thing that she was trying to do.
Chris, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kavanaugh has a consistent record of obscuring when he's testifying, and sometimes the obscuring really borders on perjury, and he's done that in at least three cases. And if he gets on this, reconvenes and denies all memory of this, this would be a fourth suspicious case.
All right, we got you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call. We have open phones. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. Joe has not said that he doesn't believe the victim of the sexual assault. He simply said that the timing is impeccably political, designed to really sabotage the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. So we'll take more conversation on this topic. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us, as one individual has done, says, what went around did come around with Merrick Garland. It's called the Biden rule. You can blame the Democrats for that. So what would come around already did come around for Merrick Garland. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I've done. Talk to Ernie or Austin over at the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15. Find out about the vehicle that has the highest rate of owner loyalty of any vehicle in the world. Or go over to the Sunbury Motor Company on 4th Street, where you can find out about the MKZ. That's the hybrid model that gets the super-duper deluxe gasoline mileage and is perfectly capable of driving all the way around the country without ever being connected to a charger. It runs on gasoline, too. And it's a fabulous vehicle. It's a luxury automobile. Or they got Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars, and every other type and variety available at the Sunbury Motor Company. Go ahead and build that vehicle ahead of time online, then go down to the lot and say, oh, that's the one I picked out. It's even got my color. Joe likes those grayish colors, but they got burgundies and blacks and reds and you name it. And polar white is always available in the vehicles, too, if you want to drive a car like Ben Reichley. So that's 1-800-795-9565, our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. The website for the Sunbury Motor Company, SunburyMotors.com. We would all just love if you'd patronize our sponsors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We are text-free at the moment, but we'll take more text messages sent to 70236. Of course, in order to do that, you got to sign up at WKOK.com. We do not send you any junk that you do not want, but we'll take messages from you. Here's one that says, there are two places the letter could have come from to be printed in the Washington Post, the accuser herself, or Feinstein's office. All involved are leftist activists, all right? So there are two places this letter could have come from to be printed in the Washington Post, the accuser herself, or Feinstein's office. All involved are leftist activists. We appreciate that. Cindy, you are on the mark.
I think that if I were Dianne Feinstein, I would have directly asked him in the hearing. She had plenty of time to do so. Not necessarily that specific case, but she could have asked him, are there any situations in your history that might result in a Me Too or in a sexual or aggressive behavior problems. She could have directly asked him, but she chose not to. Instead, she did a lot of speechifying, and yes, Joe, she did listen to his answers and complained that his answers were long, but she could have just asked him. But she didn't. She never brought it up.
Nope, she did not. She should have if she had the letter.
Do we know the answer to this question? Why didn't she bring it up earlier?
Sure, because it wasn't politically expedient then.
Well, she didn't have to bring up this specific case, is my point. She could have asked me a question about, you know, in this age of Me Too, are there any situations in your past where you might be accused of similar behavior?
Yeah, and questioning him about his stance with respect to Roe versus Wade would have given her an opportunity to say, listen, we're concerned about women's rights. They've been hard to achieve over the years. Is there anything in your background that would preclude you on those terms from serving on the Supreme Court?
And guess what?
There you go.
The answer is no.
And then he's perjured himself. It's that simple. Then he's perjured himself and damaged himself irrevocably.
If he answered that way, yes.
But she didn't do that. And why not? Why wouldn't you take that opportunity?
I don't know. She'll have to answer that question if she hasn't already.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Next email, Joe.
Joanne from Sunbury says, high school kids get drunk and often become sexually promiscuous. Maybe predictable. Attempted rape and restraint is not a part of this equation. Having a witness to the same is particularly disturbing. Someone complicit. Normal kids mess up. This is a lot worse. It suggests a power play and, with a witness, conspiracy. I see power, not sexuality, in this incident. The woman feared for her life. It doesn't matter when this happened. Assigning Kavanaugh to the highest judicial office in the land will make us complicit in this kind of behavior and thinking. I fear this man may have an underlying pathology that will affect his position on women's issues. He already has decided that he knows what's best for women and their bodies. Hasn't he lied about his involvement in other questionable issues? And he has been nominated by a president who has been accused of sexual misconduct by at least 12 women. Well, you know, the woman feared for her life. It suggests power play and with a witness conspiracy. I see power, not sexuality, in this. Assigning Kavanaugh the highest judicial office in the land will make us complicit in this kind of behavior and thinking. Wouldn't that only be true if what was the allegations were true?
Say that again?
You're saying that appointing him to the Supreme Court...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Well, you know, the accuser is probably telling the truth. I'm not saying that... I think, you know, our goal in the whole judicial system is to believe the accuser, to understand what the victim went through and to try to ease the suffering and to try to create justice. So,
well, what if Brett Kavanaugh takes a lie detector test? I'm sure he's been given them as part of background checks for the, you know, Supreme Court and the
well,
other...
Well, he certainly will be now.
Yeah, so what if he passes it? So what's that prove? Then do we now assume that her, because she had a lie detector test given to her by her own people?
Apparently polygraphs aren't 100% reliable.
But she's using this as justification. I took a polygraph and I passed.
Well, I don't think she's mentioned the polygraph. I think reporters have mentioned it because somebody suggested that she should take it. Maybe the Washington Post suggested that she should take it before they went ahead and published the whole letter and all the allegations and so on. But I think these are very much worth hearing about. We can ask him very specific questions now.
Sure, and
now.
Diane Feinstein should have done it. She had the letter. She should have asked him about it.
And why does she say that she didn't bring it up? Has she said precisely why she didn't bring it up at the time?
If she has, I haven't heard it. Now, she may have said something, but, you know, I don't know that she's been grilled.
I guess there's a possibility she hadn't seen it yet. You know, you don't, as a senator, she wouldn't see every piece of mail that comes to her office.
But again, going back to my original premise at the start.
But you would think
program,
that would go to the top of the stack.
If he did this in high school and has lived an exemplary life
all the way back
sentence,
around to this,
right,
okay.
Should that disqualify him from service on the Supreme Court?
Well, it would in my view, but it wouldn't
Why?
In your view. Well, because I think it shows that he has, in the darkest recesses of his mind, what do they say, alcohol,
the
wine,
darkest recesses of his mind.
Wine in, truth out kind of thing, that this is part of his
so
nature.
So for 30 years, he has beaten this demon down that's lurking in his background, and just he's only a heartbeat away from pushing some other woman into a bedroom.
Find a woman to be on the Supreme Court who can be respectful of all women. We have a call coming in, but we'll take more comers. I got to take a quickie break to stay on schedule. 1-800-795-9565. What? Something funny over there?
No, I'm just looking at you.
Thank you. Well, keep it up. I'll be back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. We got callers lined up and one more email pending. We'll start with Paul. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning. Gentlemen, I'd like you to give me a definition of the word secret. In other words, if you say something and you said this is a secret, what are you referring to the word secret as to its meaning?
A secret is something that is not intended to be publicly disseminated among the secret holders. In other words, you could have, I could tell you that I'm going to buy some real estate next to you in Northumberland and put in a thriving factory and say, but don't tell anybody it's a secret. I don't want anybody to know until I own the land. But of course, you go to borough council and blab as you do, and that would spread the word. So that would be, you know, not in compliance with the secret.
If you don't want anybody else to know, you don't tell anybody.
Okay, so you keep it secret, right?
That's right. Now, if you speak to somebody and you tell them something, it is considered confidential, meaning that it's only two people or even a group of people that would understand it. But right. you don't. This happened to us. We had a meeting in one of our hangars, and they told us that it was a secret that the B-52 bombers were all grounded because of the bottle bolt that held the wings on had cracks in it, and we weren't supposed to tell anybody, and if anybody said anything, we were supposed to deny it. So we went back to the day room, and at 6 o'clock, what was on the news, it was discussed that the Strategic Air Command released the information that all B-52 bombers were grounded because of a bottleneck crack. Now, if you don't want anybody to know, you don't tell anybody.
Okay. All right. So, and there's no secrets in Washington. We know that to
but
be true.
I'm not certain I get your point, Paul. Are you saying that she should have kept this secret? Or
No. The whole thing in a nutshell is this. If you don't want the public to know, or if you want somebody to protect somebody, you don't discuss either their actions or their words, and then you interpret it. Because the same thing happens in law. In law, judges don't rule according to the way the law is written, but they rule according to their interpretation.
All right, we got you, Paul. Thank you so much. Chris, you got a minute of fame. Go right ahead.
Yeah, the Biden rule. There was no such thing as Biden rule. Biden never made a rule. He made a suggestion about not considering a Supreme Court justice of an extreme type during a Senate speech. There was no nomination. There was no nominee. There was no vacancy. There was no vote. To say what comes around goes around based on the Biden rule is one of those Fox talking points idiocies.
Well, he said it shouldn't be done during a presidential election year. He did say that. You know that's exactly what he said.
That was part of it, but the example he gave was in somebody stepping down during the summer, shortly before the Democratic convention, and it also involved what type of nominee it was. And he put conditions on all of those. When you look at this whole speech, there was no rule. The idea that it was a rule was complete nonsense.
All right, we got
and
you.
And when did Scalia die? February or something? January?
Mm-hmm.
That was not the summer.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much. Appreciate the add-on, Chris.
It was in Australia.
Joe, you would start here and move up.
Okay, well, let's change the color to something I can read. There is no proof that Kavanaugh did what he's accused of, his word against her, so who's going to be believed? Without proof, all that is being done is the attempt to railroad a good man.
All right, so we'll leave it at that. We have one text left and one email left on this topic, so this is where we'll start tomorrow, and we won't stay on this topic. We have another email that relates to the governor blatantly using his public office for political purposes. Can you imagine in Pennsylvania?
A political office?
Corruption in Harrisburg? Nah. Not our Harrisburg. You're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.